Have you noticed how sometimes when you're really diving deep into health and wellness stuff, certain topics just keep popping up?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And for me, lately, that's been rapamycin.
Interesting.
And it's got this kind of cool origin story, discovered on Easter Island back in the 70s.
Yeah, that's right. It's pretty remarkable that something from this tiny little bacterium on a really isolated island is now like front and center in all this research into aging and all sorts of health stuff.
So for our deep dive today, we're going to unpack exactly what rapamycin is, how it works, and what the potential benefits and risks are.
Sounds good.
So to kick things off, can you give us the rapamycin 101? What is this stuff?
Yeah, so rapamycin, sometimes called sirolimus, is a natural molecule that comes from that bacteria. And you mentioned Streptomyces hygroscopicus,
Right.
and it's got scientists really excited because of how it acts inside our cells.
Okay, so how does it work? What's its main gig?
Basically, its main job is to inhibit something called the mTOR protein complex.
MTOR.
Yeah, which stands for mechanistic target of rapamycin.
Okay.
Now, mTOR is like this control center in your cells that's always telling them to grow and divide and use energy.
So rapamycin kind of steps in and like chills things out at that control center.
Exactly. Like taking your foot off the gas a bit,
Yeah.
not slamming on the brakes, but just easing up on that go pedal.
Gotcha.
And what's really fascinating is that this one action can have a domino effect on all sorts of things in your body.
Okay, so then what happens when we ease up on this cellular go button? What are the effects of inhibiting mTOR?
Well, the main things we see are a reduction in cellular stress,
Okay.
things like oxidative stress and inflammation, which are kind of like the wear and tear that builds up on your cells over time.
Right.
It also helps regulate how cells grow, which is super important for things like cancer and even heart health, because it can help prevent that plaque buildup in your arteries.
Oh.
And then it also plays a role in fine-tuning your immune system by regulating different types of immune cells.
So by tweaking this one master controller with rapamycin, we're basically helping our cells focus on repair and conservation,
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
which is kind of the key to longevity, right?
Exactly.
So now let's get into the specifics because we looked at a lot of research for this deep dive, and there are some pretty interesting potential benefits of rapamycin specifically for men.
That's right.
Let's start with something I know a lot of guys think about: hair.
Okay.
There seems to be a link between how active mTOR is and hair growth.
Yeah, it seems like when mTOR is really active, it can actually hinder the growth and the color of hair follicles.
So if rapamycin dials down mTOR, could that mean thicker and more colorful hair?
Potentially, and there's even research suggesting it might help slow down androgenic alopecia, which is male pattern baldness.
Really?
It seems to do this by reducing inflammation in the scalp and by protecting the stem cells in those hair follicles.
So it's not going to magically regrow all your hair, but it could help maintain what you got.
Right. It's not a replacement for things like finasteride or minoxidil, but it could be a good addition to a hair health strategy.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now let's move on to another area that I think a lot of people would be interested in: skin.
Sure.
Smoother skin, fewer wrinkles. Who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, there's been some really promising research on using rapamycin topically on the skin, and it seems to help reduce wrinkles and sagging.
How does that work?
Well, a big part of it is that rapamycin seems to boost collagen production in the skin.
Collagen, that's the stuff that keeps our skin looking young and firm.
Exactly. And by modulating the mTOR pathway, rapamycin basically tells the cells that make collagen to step up their game.
I like it.
It also helps with something called cellular senescence, which is basically when you have these old, worn-out cells hanging around in your skin, and they can actually damage the healthy cells around them.
Wow.
So by getting rid of those senescent cells, rapamycin helps the skin look and act younger.
So it's kind of like a cleanup crew for your skin.
Exactly.
Okay, now let's talk about weight management because that's a big concern for a lot of people, especially as we age. And I read that even a single dose of rapamycin in some animal studies had a pretty long-lasting effect on body weight.
Yeah, that's right. There was this one study where they gave rats just one dose of rapamycin, and it led to a significant and sustained decrease in their body weight.
Wow, just one dose.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. And scientists think it could work in a few different ways in humans.
Like what?
Well, for one, it seems to improve insulin sensitivity, which is really important for maintaining a healthy metabolism and preventing things like diabetes and metabolic syndrome.
Okay.
It might also help with fat loss, especially that visceral fat that builds up around your organs.
The dangerous kind.
Exactly. And it does this by promoting autophagy, which is that cellular recycling process we talked about earlier.
Right.
So it's like cleaning up the junk in your cells, and that can help with fat burning. And there's even some early research suggesting that rapamycin could help counteract that age-related slowdown in metabolism that a lot of people experience.
Okay, so it's a potential triple whammy: better insulin sensitivity, less visceral fat, and a faster metabolism. Potentially.
All right, now this next one is a bit more delicate, but important to discuss erectile dysfunction.
Right.
There was a study that showed some improvements in erectile function in diabetic rats that were given rapamycin.
Yeah, it seemed to work by inhibiting things like apoptosis, which is cell death, and fibrosis, which is the buildup of scar tissue in the tissues involved in erections.
So it's not just about increasing blood flow, but also about keeping the tissues healthy.
Exactly. And this has led some researchers to believe that rapamycin could be an alternative treatment for guys with ED who don't respond to the usual medications.
Interesting.
And it all ties back to that mTOR pathway and how it affects tissue health and blood vessel function.
Okay, now let's talk about something really big: longevity.
Okay.
Some sources mentioned a possible increase in lifespan, which is a pretty huge claim.
It is. And it's based on studies in animals where they found that giving rapamycin later in life led to a 9 to 14% increase in lifespan. And
Wow.
if you extrapolate that to humans, it could mean an extra 7 years or so.
7 years, that's incredible. Now, of course, that's just a projection, but it shows you the potential here.
And for men specifically, what about heart health? Because I know that's a major concern.
Yeah, men have a higher risk of heart disease than women. And one of the things that's really exciting about rapamycin is that it might help prevent that buildup of plaque in the arteries.
Ah, okay.
It could also help lower blood pressure by improving arterial flexibility. And it might even have a positive effect on cholesterol levels.
So it's like a multi-pronged approach to heart health.
Yeah, potentially.
Now, another thing that's really important as we get older is maintaining muscle mass and strength.
Absolutely. It's
Oh.
not just about looking good, it's about staying functional and independent.
Exactly.
And there's research suggesting that rapamycin could help with that.
Really?
Yeah, one study showed that it increased grip strength, and there's evidence that it might help slow down that age-related decline in physical function.
So it's not going to turn you into a bodybuilder,
Right.
but it could help you stay active and strong as you get older.
Right now, it's important to note that continuously suppressing mTOR can actually interfere with muscle growth.
No, how so?
If you're constantly blocking that mTOR pathway, you're essentially blocking the signals that tell your muscles to grow bigger and stronger.
Okay.
So the strategy with rapamycin for muscle maintenance is often to use it intermittently.
Right.
So you get the benefits of improved recovery and reduced inflammation without completely shutting down muscle growth.
Makes sense.
Plus, there's also the possibility that rapamycin could boost endurance by making those mitochondria, the powerhouses of your cells, work more efficiently.
Oh, interesting.
So it could be a win-win for both strength and endurance.
Okay, now let's shift gears and talk about the brain. Cognitive decline is a major concern for a lot of people as they age.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can rapamycin help with that?
Well, there's some promising research suggesting that it might. And a big part of that is because rapamycin seems to promote autophagy in the brain.
Autophagy, that's the cellular cleaning process we talked about, right?
Exactly. And in the brain, it helps clear out all those damaged proteins and cellular debris that can contribute to neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's.
So it's like giving your brain a good spring cleaning.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And this could potentially lead to improvements in focus, memory, and overall cognitive function as you get older.
Now let's talk about something that's particularly relevant for men: prostate health.
Okay.
What does the research say about rapamycin and the prostate?
Well, some studies have shown that it might be able to slow down the growth of prostate cancer cells by inhibiting the mTOR pathway.
Okay.
It seems to affect how cells proliferate,
Right.
which is basically how they multiply, and that's a key factor in cancer development.
So it could help prevent prostate cancer from developing in the first place?
Potentially, and there's also some evidence that it might help reduce prostate enlargement, which is a common problem for older men.
And more broadly, it has those anti-cancer properties that we've been talking about, which could be beneficial for preventing more aggressive forms of prostate cancer.
Okay.
Now let's talk about something that's a bit more complex, and that's rapamycin's effect on testosterone.
Okay.
The research we looked at presented both potential benefits and drawbacks in this area.
That's right. It's not a simple black and white issue.
So let's start with the potential downsides. What are the concerns about rapamycin and testosterone?
Well, one concern is that it could potentially suppress testosterone production by the Leydig cells in the testicles.
Okay.
Which could lead to lower testosterone levels overall. And it might also affect the HPG axis, which is the hormonal control center in the brain.
So that's a direct impact on testosterone production. But then I also read that it could actually increase testosterone in some cases. How does that work?
Yeah, that's where it gets really interesting. Some studies in mice have shown an increase in testosterone with rapamycin.
Hmm.
And it seemed to depend on the specific situation. For example, in mice with polycystic ovary syndrome, rapamycin seemed to increase testosterone by reducing the production of other steroid hormones. And in another study with mice that had high levels of DHEA, rapamycin seemed to boost testosterone by reducing overall cellular stress.
So it's not just about rapamycin directly affecting testosterone production. It's also about how it affects other things in the body that can influence testosterone levels.
Exactly. And this highlights the importance of working with a doctor if you're considering taking rapamycin, because they can help you assess your individual situation and monitor your hormone levels.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the potential benefits of rapamycin, but it's important to be realistic and acknowledge that there are also potential risks and side effects.
Definitely.
What are some of the things that people need to be aware of?
Well, one of the main concerns is that rapamycin can suppress your immune system.
Okay.
Which means you're more susceptible to infections.
Right.
And there's also a risk of kidney damage with long-term use, and it can sometimes cause liver problems or elevated liver enzymes.
Mm.
It can also affect blood sugar regulation, which could lead to insulin resistance or even type 2 diabetes.
And are there any medications that it interacts with?
Yes. It's really important to be aware of potential interactions with other drugs, like immunosuppressants, antifungals, and anticonvulsants.
So this is definitely not something to mess around with.
Yeah.
You need to talk to your doctor before even considering taking rapamycin.
Absolutely.
Okay, so given all that, who should actually consider taking rapamycin?
Well, based on the research we've looked at, people who are really focused on healthy aging might want to explore it with their doctor.
Okay.
Also, people who are dealing with certain chronic conditions like cancer, cardiovascular disease, or neurodegenerative diseases where rapamycin's mechanisms could be beneficial.
Right.
And there's even some interest in its potential use for athletes to improve endurance and muscle recovery.
Interesting.
But again, it's crucial to work with a doctor and figure out the right dosage and timing.
So for someone who's thinking about trying rapamycin, what's the safest and most effective way to go about it?
The most important thing is to have a thorough conversation with your doctor.
Yep.
They can help you assess your individual situation and make sure that rapamycin is actually appropriate for you.
Right.
If they decide that it is, they'll typically recommend starting with a very low dose, like 2 to 5 milligrams per week, and then gradually increasing it under close medical supervision.
Okay.
And it's also crucial to get regular checkups to monitor your kidney function, liver enzymes, and blood sugar levels.
So basically proceed with caution and under the guidance of a qualified healthcare professional.
Exactly.
We've covered a lot of information, and I'm sure some people still have questions. So let's go through some FAQs that we found in the research.
Sound good.
First up, long-term safety. Is it safe to take rapamycin for a long time?
Well, the general consensus is that if you're using low doses and you're being monitored regularly, it can be managed safely for many people.
Okay.
But it's important to remember that long-term effects in healthy individuals are still being studied and everyone responds differently.
Yeah.
So continuous communication with your doctor is key.
Okay, what about the speed of results? How long does it take to notice a difference?
That can vary a lot depending on what you're looking for. And it's important to remember that a lot of the research is still based on animal studies.
Right.
But some people report feeling improvements in their immune function and energy levels within a few months.
Okay.
Like 3 to 6 months.
Now, the million-dollar question, can rapamycin actually reverse aging?
Well, that's a really complex question. Aging is a really intricate process.
Right.
And while rapamycin definitely shows promise for slowing it down and improving the quality of life as we age, the idea of completely reversing aging is probably not realistic.
Okay.
But slowing it down significantly is still a huge win in my book.
Absolutely. Now, what about FDA approval? Is rapamycin approved for anti-aging?
Not specifically, no.
Mm-hmm.
It's approved for things like preventing organ rejection after transplants and for treating certain cancers.
Yeah.
But using it for anti-aging is considered off-label and should only be done under the supervision of a doctor.
Okay, so you can't just go buy it over the counter.
Definitely not. It requires a prescription and ongoing medical monitoring.
What happens when you stop taking rapamycin? Do the benefits just disappear?
Well, some effects might linger for a while, but most of them will probably gradually fade away.
Okay.
The research suggests that higher doses and longer durations of use could lead to longer lasting effects, but more research is needed on that.
Are there any specific groups of people who should avoid taking rapamycin?
Yes. People with liver problems, compromised immune systems, active infections, high cholesterol or triglycerides or diabetes should definitely avoid it.
Okay.
And anyone taking other medications or preparing for surgery should talk to their doctor first because of potential interactions.
Okay, last question. Can you combine rapamycin with other anti-aging treatments?
It's potentially possible,
mm.
but only under the guidance of a doctor. Aging is a really complex process with lots of different pathways involved.
Right.
So combining different treatments that target those pathways could theoretically lead to greater benefits, but it needs to be done very carefully.
So once again, it all comes back to working with a qualified healthcare professional.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we've covered just about everything. What are the key takeaways that you want our listeners to remember from this deep dive?
The main takeaway is that rapamycin has a lot of potential for improving various aspects of health and especially for promoting healthy aging.
Right.
But it's absolutely crucial to consult with your doctor before making any decisions about taking it.
Agreed.
There are potential risks. Individual responses can vary, and it can interact with other medications and affect things like your hormone levels.
So it's a powerful tool, but one that needs to be used responsibly.
Exactly.
And on that note, here's something for you to think about, considering how broadly rapamycin affects cellular processes. What other unexpected benefits or maybe even drawbacks might future research uncover about its long-term use in humans?
It's a great question.
Aging is such a complex and fascinating field, and new discoveries are being made all the time.
For sure.
And rapamycin is definitely a compound that's going to continue to be in the spotlight.
Absolutely.
So stay tuned for more updates as the research unfolds. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into rapamycin.
It's been a pleasure.